Jesus. our Savior. Amen. We listen now to words of scripture from the Psalms, and I believe that it was in his climbing and his walking that Peter felt closest to his God, whether it was round Eckart Reservoir or whether it was up in the Lake District on the mountains. And Jasmine, his granddaughter, is going to read for us, and it is Psalm 121.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all danger. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Thank you, Jasmine. I asked for memories. I have been overwhelmed, and I guess that doesn't surprise you. Joan, these here are for you. I couldn't speak them all, and they're for you to add to the many that I know you have already got and received. I love that the Peter I have read about these past 2 weeks matches up with the Peter that I have known over the past 20 years. There is a consistency here, both moving and powerful. The Peter I read about is the Peter I too knew. Thank you for all you have shared. Sadly, as I've said, in this corona time, I must give you just an edited version. The stories, the detail will, I know, be shared in many different ways and places over the coming weeks, months and years, I guess. Keep them coming. They are life-giving. I guess we begin. Where do we begin? I guess it's at the beginning. And so it's Peter's sister Doreen who starts the story. Peter was born on October the 28th, 1940, at Steinbeck Street in Meanwood, Leeds, to Dora Elizabeth and Percy Leslie Crask. He was the eldest of four children, Michael, who sadly died almost 20 years ago, and Doreen and Irene. This was the home of their grandma. Their dad was away during most of the Second World War. Peter went to Bentley Lane School in Meanwood and passed his 11 plus. The family moved to Bramley and Peter went to West Leeds High School. After a few years, the family moved back to Meanwood and lived on Stonegate Farm Road in the new white houses. Doreen remembers good family holidays in Stays and Whitby. Bus trips, of course, no cars in those days. Peter attended Steinbeck Congregational Church. Here, of course, he joined the youth club, and it was at the church that he met the Reverend Constance Clark, who was the minister at that time. Dorothy Jackson remembers how it was Constance Clark who in those early days started a youth club for the over 14s. And it was Constance Clark who arranged for Peter to go on a walking holiday to the Lake District with other young people. This was the start of Peter's passion for the Lake District mountains. And it was when Peter, Michael and Bill Connell became good friends, this was on these walking trips that they did, and this is a friendship I know that has stayed with them throughout their lives, and it's good to have Bill here with us this morning, this afternoon. Bradford University, studying pharmacy, was Peter's next stage, and whilst there he joined a band playing the trombone. Doreen and Irene recall the evenings when he came home on the school bus and his mother would say, "Where's your trombone?" And Peter would say, "I've left it on the bus again." So he had to wait at the end of the street until the bus came back on its return journey to retrieve his trombone. Peter started an annual Lake District trip for young people, at first catching the service bus from the bus station on Vicar Lane. Peter followed the Wainwright guidebooks. He was a brilliant leader, planning the routes meticulously, always with a compass in his pocket. Some years there were up to 30 in the party, with Michael Crask, Brian McVetridge, Brian Howes, Doreen and Peter and others helping with the groups. With the group. Happy, memorable times, says Doreen. Over the years, the group upgraded to driving cars instead of using the buses, and further down the line, the After Eights weekend evolved, latterly upgrading to hotels, but always, always, and I know this to be true, carefully managed and greatly enjoyed. But this, of course, is jumping ahead far too fast. Because it was, I understand, when Peter was a youth leader at Steinbeck, that Joan joined the club with other friends from school. Peter, I am told, was immediately besotted. Indeed, this must have been love at first sight. They were married in 1965 here at Steinbeck, moved into their first home in Bowood Avenue, where in due course Sarah, Eleanor and Lucy were born. This was their home then until 1978, when they moved to King Lane, and very recently, of course, back into Meanwood at Woodside Road. This was a love which has endured. Perhaps I should say grown and matured. Joan, you were that constant in Peter's life. And I have always remembered how, not very long ago, Peter told me that wherever they moved to, this was when you were looking for a house to move from King Lane, wherever you moved, it would be fine. Joan would make it home. Alongside this, an important part of Peter's life has been the amateur dramatics at Steinbeck. Peter started off being in plays with Alice Dickinson, and then Bob Jackson set up the Steinbeck Players. I hope I've got this right. And Peter had discovered another passion. He wrote his first pantomime, Abby Yo-Yo. And in the 70s, many young children joined the Steinbeck Players and enjoyed the experience. After that, he had many years of producing and acting in pantomimes and plays. Very laid back, he was a gifted producer who would often add his own additional scenes into the performances to fit both the actors and the current local and national issues. I'm sure we all remember that very well. So many memories around that time. I have a few to share. They are random, but they are consistent in their message. So thank you to Simon, to Steve, to Ian, and to the other Steve, known to the family as Dan. Let's begin with the lakes and Peter's love of mountains and walking. Ian says of the youth hosteling, "For me it was an awakening into an idyllic world, to one of God's most beautiful playgrounds. Again, no one was judged. All were equal, and although we appeared a disparate group, we were inclusive. We communicated, we laughed, we played, we walked. Simple things, but complete happiness." And then the Steinbeck Players. And Steve remembers how from Abby Yo-Yo the Giant to Mother Goose, Peter was the catalyst that brought so many people together, both front and backstage. "It was through his guidance and support," says Steve, "that I gained confidence and self-esteem to stand up in front of 100 people and to hopefully make them laugh. A fantastic life skill for which I am grateful." And again from Ian, who remembers being transfixed way back in 1973 by Abby Yo-Yo, the Giant. He was transfixed by this magic which was happening on his doorstep and couldn't believe that he could become a part of this community. But to his surprise, he was encouraged to take part by the giant himself, who was open, friendly, and communicated to everyone, both young and old, as an equal and with ease. The giant, who has complete faith in a bunch of young people to convey real life and with complete passion. And because he had passion and belief, says Ian, we too had passion and belief. And then there was the church. And Simon remembers the off-key way in which Peter made us think and question what the church meant to us. That sounds like the Peter I knew as well. And how he always put the church first and made us question the right course of action. Dan remembers Peter in the early 1960s when he was his Sunday school teacher and already established as a key member of Steinbeck Church. He also remembers in his early teens how they really got to know one another. How alongside church, the youth players and his growing family, the shop was the other dominant factor in Peter's life. It's been lovely for me to see photos of the shop because I didn't know it, I didn't remember it. Really, really pleased to see that. And it was there that Dan got to know his true generosity of spirit. Peter gave a tremendous amount of time to the shop, opening late evening hours to serve the community. And he was always ready to go that extra mile to meet the needs of his customers. Dan also remembers how he was that most valuable of things, a critical friend, and never let him get away with talking rubbish, but neither did he ever put him down. He had a thirst for knowledge that eventually led him to squeeze into his already full life years of open university study. He never bothered converting the credits he gained into qualifications. It was the knowledge that he wanted, not the bits of paper. And again, isn't that the Peter that we knew and loved? He was the first person who showed me, says Dan, not in words, but simply by his actions, that being a Christian wasn't about talking a good talk, although he could do that, but it was about doing things to help others. But what about the family, so central to Peter's life? You, says Sarah, you gave me a galloping piggyback ride to school. You took me to London in my berry and blazer. You cooked me in Abbey Yo-Yo's stock pot in the pantomime. You were by my side on my first Big Dipper ride. You drove me from the south of France to meet my school French trip in the north. You picked me up in the early hours after nights out. You pointed out the mountains. You were by my bedside when I was ill. You walked me down the aisle. You will always be. My dad, says Lucy, kind, loving, supportive, gentle, fair, honest, reliable, generous, and so much more. Her dad always made her feel safe, never judging but kindly helping. Not telling her what to do, but gently guiding her in her decisions. Her dad would find her, help her to find the answers, always. She thanks him for the love she has for books, for the love she has for nature and walking, for the influence he has had on her own children, especially having lived together in an extended family home for a large part of their childhood. And she thanks her dad for the 46 years he shared his life with her, including holidays, social events, pantomimes, and encouraging the passion and vision that became their family business. Eleanor sums it up and simply says, "Dad was our life and the core of the whole family. He was our stability and, as so many have recalled, always there to help, to find a way forward. His understanding, his non-judgment, his generosity, his compassion, his wealth of knowledge on all things medical and beyond, his love of music and literature, his love of study and education, his sense of humour and fun, his dependability. He was our life. This is my dad." And I know, talking to Peter's grandchildren, that their granddad was key supporting with schoolwork. Leon passed his maths exam, didn't he? That he would talk things through, they would go camping, walking, climbing, they would have fun. And to quote Keziah, "He taught me many things," she said, "kindness, gratitude, and most importantly, he taught me to love. In my hardest times, he would lift me up and make me feel so happy. I never knew how he did it, how he so easily put a smile on my face when I felt like the whole world was crushing down, but he did." Peter was all of a piece. The Peter we have heard about just now is the Peter we all knew. At Steinbeck, he was our go-to person. He was our sounding board. Dependable, he would always find a way. He always made the space for us to try new ways of being church. A creative treasurer, understanding that our money was for building the kingdom of God, bringing God's shalom, God's peace to every place. What a blessing for any church community. What a blessing for their minister. Peter's faith understood that the love that we call God finds expression in our daily living. Indeed, that the love that is God works in, with, through, and beyond us. Peter is now held within that love. It is a love for us too, for you and for me. A love to receive and to love, to hold and to share. May it be ours today, and may it give us the peace that we each seek. Amen. We're going to remain seated now while we think about Peter, because I know you will all have so many, many different memories. It is a hymn which Peter, it's good for Peter, it's a good hymn for Peter. "Brother, sister, let me serve you, let me be as Christ to you." One of the ways when we're listening to and watching these things, if you really like singing, you could hum. It actually helps a little bit, I find, to hum. Just a suggestion, you don't have to. "Brother, sister,
and we pray. God, source of all life, mysterious, profound, generous in love, we give thanks because we have seen you in Peter. We give thanks for his life, for all that he was and for all that he gave of himself to his family, to friends, to the community of faith in the church, to the world of work, and to the wider community. We give thanks for what he was to each one of us, We give thanks that he was such a person that we are moved to grief and sorrow by his loss. Help us through his death to see more clearly the significance of life and to grasp more firmly the hope that we are more than our years and that love is stronger than death. We pray for ourselves, disturbed by the great mystery of death, facing the questions it raises and the loss it brings. We pray that we will not be overwhelmed, but may face honestly what confronts us, so that we may sorrow freely and turn to life again, with courage and with hope. As we honour Peter, we commit ourselves to care for each other, to bring hope to the despairing and joy to those who sorrow. God be with us here this day and in all the days to come. May we live as those who remember the past and who have hope for the future. God of all compassion, we bring to you all who mourn today, especially those whose loss is deepest, whose need is greatest. We pray for Joan, Peter's wife and best friend and companion for so many years. We pray for his daughters, for Sarah, for Eleanor, for Lucy, and we pray for their families, remembering his grandchildren, Jasmine, Dylan Jay, Tobias, Keziah, and Leon. We pray for his wider family and for his many close friends. We pray for his colleagues. We pray for his church family. For them we ask for resources stronger than anything we can offer, joy and hope and that peace which is your gift to us, known in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the bonds of family and friendships, may we be channels of your grace. We pray in the name of Jesus, and holding Peter in our hearts and minds, we say together the prayer that unites us as one family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Please will you stand as you are able for the committee. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever has faith in me shall live, even though he dies. And no one who lives and has faith in me shall ever die. Gracious God, you have made nothing in vain, and love all you have made. We therefore commit the body of our brother Peter to be cremated, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, trusting in the infinite mercy of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. Please will you sit for prayer. Almighty God, you have bound together all your people in heaven and on earth in one holy fellowship. Let not our thoughts linger here, but help us to believe that your servant's life has made a new beginning, with your mercy and love always around him. Strengthened by this assurance, may we return to the tasks which await us in the world, resolved to be more faithful to you and more helpful to one another, for the sake of those no longer with us upon earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, Word made flesh, showing us the nature and the purpose of God. Peter stood firm in the love and in the power of Christ. So let us stand now and let us affirm with him the faith that he held. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and all those whom we love, today and evermore. Amen.